But before that, let's I'll give a short introduction about my wife and I, and then just an overview of what the Lord is calling us to do. So my name is Sean Elam. I have a beautiful wife, Monica Elam, and we are missionaries to Canada, the second largest country in the world. I grew up in, I was born in Canada. When I was 8 years old, as your pastor explained, I left Canada with my parents, and they were sent as missionaries out of Canada, out of a local church there, to start churches in Russia. And we served the Lord as a family for 12 and a half years in Russia. That was the grace of the Lord. What I'm about to share with you a little bit about the mission field of Russia, not that, because why am I sharing? I want to share it. Number one, because so that you can understand a little more about myself and about us, what we've been, where we've come from, and but also because my heart's still burdened for the Russian people. And I count myself more of a Russian than Canadian. Actually, even though I hold a passport, I grew up in Russia, speak Russian, and my heart's there. In Russia, we were sent there to start churches, serve the Lord for 12 and a half years, and the reality is, we know that we were washed by the angel of and as bad as that is going on. We knew that they knew who we were, and we knew that, that at any moment of time we could be kidnapped. We were not kicked out of Russia. The Lord took us out. And I'm thankful for that, because the Lord took our family, my parents, myself, and my two younger brothers, and believe it or not, I'm not the oldest. Yeah, I know. I got the nickname, which is probably worse than yours, actually. I got the nickname Bearbait. Okay? Bearbait, alright. Yeah. My middle brother got the nickname for myself, Giraffe. Yeah, he is tall. He's 6'8". I'm 6'6". My younger brother is, he's caught up to me, and so I'm not tall at all, and both my parents are tall, but we all went to Russia, and we stood up. I lived in India for 10 months, and believe it or not, I stood up. The only white guy in the middle of India, in the middle of nowhere, the only tall guy there, I stood out. Lord used us. 12 and a half years in Russia. People there, I love them so much. And there's such a need there. Reality is, in our day, it's worse now, actually, that with last year to 2 years, it's gotten worse. The spiritual condition of Russia. Russia, and while we were there, we were one of the last missionaries there. Actually, there are a few still there. In our area, we lived in Siberia, which those who might not know, Siberia is the northern part of Russia. It's from the Ural Mountains. If you look at the map there, you can find the Ural Mountain Range, which splits Russia in by one-third and by one-fourth and three-fourths. Siberia is three-fourths, basically from the Ural Mountains east. That's Siberia. And we lived right close and near and actually in, moving around. We moved 3-4 times. But we were basically in the area of the capital city of Siberia, which is Novosibirsk. Sorry again. It's hard. Novosibirsk. And there, people, there's so many people there. Russia is like the North America of Asia. All the strong countries, right? Kyrgyzstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, all those countries, people are there. Those countries going there for work purposes. People from Korea, people from China, people from Japan, people from all over, Mongolia, actually people from Nigeria were there too. So many people were there. God allowed my wife and I and our whole family to be exposed to these peoples, and which is amazing how the Lord allowed that, and was key how the Lord is now using my family. My parents are missionaries and church planters now in Ohio, and my dad's originally from there. It's a foreign country for us. But they're starting a church there. My brothers are working, one of them with my parents, the other one in our home church. But where my wife and I are going now is Canada, the second largest country in the world. And amazing enough, and many people don't know where Canada is on the other side of the world. Everyone we met, a lot of people we met in Russia, I'll say, they'll ask, where are you from? From America. I said, no, I'm from Canada. It's like, where? It's like, how can you not miss it? How can you miss that? The second largest country in the world. They know where America is. They don't know where Canada is. But it does come to the reality of the fact that even here in our home country, here in America, and all around the world, Canada is being joined with America. It's actually, it's fighting words over there to call America Canada a state. I think it's hated. I'm Canadian by birth, okay? I'm more Russian. But anyways, Canada's a large country. Canada's a mixed people. Very mixed. Approximate number. I looked this up, seeing that I haven't been back to Canada for over 10 years. Canada's people is very mixed, and I remember this when I grew up there, seeing these different peoples. Canada itself has around approximately 413 different peoples. Yeah, you heard right, 413. That's a lot. There's a lot of Ukrainians there, a lot of Russian people. Every time we were, the whole time we were in Russia, people would hear that we're from Canada. Like, why are you here? Like, that was always the question. Why are you here? Everyone's trying to go that way, not this way. But that's reality. They're coming this way. People from Ukraine, from Russia, from India, from all the different strong countries, Central Asian countries. They're in Canada. There's a great need. I have a burden, both my wife and I have a burden to reach them. The Lord has prepared us specifically to reach them. They've been exposed to them. I have a burden for them. To reach my special person, my special burden, and this is my personal burden, because this is what the Lord has laid upon my heart, and it's not my calling, but it's my burden, is to reach the forsaken, to reach for God's name. And in amongst that, it is foreign part of the foreigners. The reality is today, foreigners other countries are treated. You know, I am a foreigner. Now, you have zero rights. Zero rights. There's, you're always in tension, because there's always a possibility of losing your residence here in the country you're living. It's very difficult to find one. You're having to deal with the language barrier. You're having to deal with a different culture shock. You're dealing with all these things, and the biggest of all, one that I'm most concerned about is the fact all of this is that real fact is zero. And you know what the reality is? This book, the Word of God, reads it. For by grace we see. Russia, Canada is in a similar situation that Russia is in right now. Not as worse, but it's not as bad, but it is getting. In Russia, we could drive anywhere, any direction, 12, 13 hours, any direction, doesn't matter. One. We could drive even up by one in that situation. Not one. Not one that is preaching the truth of the Word of God. Not one that's standing firm upon the Word of God. Canada is getting. In help. Canada is the largest, is the second largest country in the world, has 13 different provinces. Fourth largest is Alberta. That's where I'm from, Alberta. Fourth largest province in Canada. in all of Alberta, which is, by the way, about 5% smaller than Texas, the second largest population state in the United States. It's huge, 5% smaller. In all of Alberta itself, there are, to our knowledge, less than 5, close to 0, independent Baptist churches. 2 independent Baptist churches. In all of Canada, there's close to 10 or less than 10 in all of Canada. The simple reality is that there's a great need for churches to start churches that will preach the Word of God as it is written. Thus simply, and stand firmly upon the Word of God with grace, but stand firmly and not change. People there in Canada, Baptist churches that are there, there are Baptist churches, but not many. Very, very few, as I already explained, very few who have like faith, like mine, as we are, like sound faith. Many of the batches there make a minority of the actual Canadian population, very small minority. Those churches are big into fellowships, Baptist fellowships, which don't get me wrong, I'm not against fellowship, but it must be with carefulness and understanding that with those who fellowship, it needs to be with those who are in unity and heart and belief. I love everyone that is born again, believer, brothers and sisters in Christ. We dealt with this in Russia. There were many Baptist churches, Russian Baptist churches there, who preach the gospel, but the biggest thing that they are there in teach falsely is that you can lose your salvation. That's a big thing. In Canada, you're having to deal with Calvinism, and Protestantism, Lutheranism, all these different religions. The reality is, Canada has a great need for people to go, missionaries, church planners, to go visit churches. My wife and I are called as missionaries, as missionary church planners, to go to Canada. We were sent out of Kazadu Baptist Temple. Don't hold that against. I've never met him. I've talked to him. But I love him a lot. But anyways, we're sent out this Kazadu Baptist Temple to go to Canada to start churches. You might ask us, where? Well, of course, that's my same person. To be perfectly honest, the Lord has not made it very clear. I'm trying to walk by faith. Simple reality, let me be able to paint a little picture of where we're at right now. Right now, we're trying to get a visa from Hawaii to Canada. We've already applied. We already got an answer back, and basically said no, not right now. These issues, based upon what they said back, and it's very generic, said that we had insufficient amount of proof that we were going to leave Canada at the end of our stay, because we were applying for a tourist visa, and that's through the advice of a lawyer that we're using. So, based on the reality of right now, is that we're going to have to and request, kindly demand them to help us. Because as a Canadian citizen, I have a right to ask. And we've had zero help from them over the last 10 years. It's been very difficult. If we can't get to Canada, we only have about a month and a half, 2 months left in the States. We only stay until March. If we can't get into Canada, then what next? Well, then we have to find a stepping stone. Place to be able to be temporarily for 3 to 6 months so that we can either go straight to Canada or come back here to do more deputation as we do need to do, and then from here to go to Canada. It's very difficult. I have lived, my life has been filled with opposition. It is not fun. It's very difficult. It's not straightforward. It is a very earnest, it is a big priority right now. That you would pray that we would have one in this place. Lord's will be made. How to go about it. I know a lot, but there's a lot I don't know. And I'm not a lawyer. I don't know a lot. I need the Lord's wisdom. I need the Lord's direction. How to go about this. How to go forward. Number two, in regards to this, that Lord would open the door to Canada. That we would not have to leave. begin life anew there, and be able to begin the work of ministry there. Number three, that God would provide the funds to be able to live there. It takes a lot to live in Canada, actually. It takes more to live in Canada than the rest of it. And we need the Lord to provide the funds that we have given. Nothing to do. Pray for us, pray for the mission field, and pray for the people. We have an earnest desire to reach them. I speak Russian, I speak English. I learned a few words in her language, it's Telugu. I begin to learn French Canadian as a second language in Canada. Why? Because even if I can speak a few words, the reality is if you can speak a few words in your language, say, no, I don't speak a lot of your language, but if I could say that in several different languages, God gives open doors. People right away say, oh, hold on, you speak my language. So we were talking Russian. I don't know what you're talking about, but as soon as I heard that there was a Russian speaker here, I have to find her. I was waiting with expectation to talk to her. Because why? The reality is that when you speak a language, especially if it's your native language, Russian is not my language, it's my second language. I want to find people who speak that language. When I lived in Russia, when I heard English, I automatically turned around. I was like, where is that person? I need to find them. Here it's with Russian. I'm always paying attention when people are talking in different languages. See if I can understand them. But that's, if I'm experiencing that, if we experience that in other countries, how do you think they do? And the reality is, it's important to try to find an open door to talk to, because in other cases they cannot talk to them. And they're so busy here trying to make a way, trying to make a living, that they don't have time for you. But if God gives you that small ability to talk to them, to give them track, God will give you an open door to reach them. My heart, all right, so I've to do my burden. Our calling is to the people of Canada, the mixed people of Canada. We're not mixed people, we've got a competitor based on the Amazon, so there we have a lot with us. And our ministry, what is our ministry? Well, we're called as church planners. What is that? Church planners are basically, this is what makes a church planner. Number one, what's the job of a church planner? Number one, to call people to the truth, to salvation, through the truth of the gospel. Bring the hope of salvation to people. Number two, once they have received Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and they've been born again, then to baptize them and make them into believers and begin to start a mission work and with the future plan of a church to build a church and form into a church. Number three, to teach and train in biblical leadership. That is so key as a church planner. Why? Because the Lord is not calling me to be a pastor. Will I be the pastor temporarily? Yes. But once the church has been founded and there's a man called to be a pastor, the Lord will move us on to a place to start again. And so therefore there must be men and women who are able to teach, who are able to preach and teach the Word of God and to lead biblically as we go forward, that the church might be able to grow and do more. Number four, to establish that church, finally with the goal, establish a church. Establish a local Baptist church that they might be able to continue to do the same, to call, to baptize, to teach, to train, and to establish. That's how churches are started. That's how churches spring up. When from a church, God lays upon the heart of a man, a young man or older man, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter how old you might be. Understand, kids here, there's some young, we have a range of ages here that come from. I was 6 years old. I was not even saved yet. I got saved when I was 10 years old. I was 6 years old when that spark in my heart began being called to be a pastor. It began at 6 years old. I surrendered to the ministry when I was 10. It doesn't matter how young you might be. And it really doesn't matter how old you might be. If the Lord calls you, then surrender. That you will not find a better place to be than in the Lord. That's where the Lord's blessings are. And that's where God will use you. there's a necessity for churches to establish other churches, and that starts with God calling out from the church. That's how we see in the New Testament how it's done. Paul and Paul saw it was Saul and Barnabas, but Paul and Barnabas were called out of the church, local church in Antioch. There were members there. They had been trained, they had been teaching and preaching, but then God laid upon their hands and said, I have called you. And they went out. That's how churches start. And then it went further. And then finally, for my wife and I to extend our ministry to other places in Canada, and our burden in my heart is this, to reach the foreigners. Why? There's a burden for them, number two, because to see the prospects and the reality of what the Lord could do, if God would be able to see, if I could see, people could see from other countries. What do I see? Of God calling to go to their home country. Well, I cannot go. Either God has not called me, or I'm not permitted to go by the government. They are. And they'll have an open door with their own people that I will not have. That's what I yearn to see. That's what we wanted in Russia. We want to extend to the Central Asian countries, people, countries that are darkened by Islam. They were there in Russia. We wanted to reach them so that they could go. Same idea. That's the work of the church. That's what we're called. It's great. My home country. I'm so thankful the Lord's called us. I understand I'm not going there because I'm from there, because I am. I'm not going there because my family is there, my relatives, yes, they are. I'm not going there because it's easier than living in Russia or living in India where we've been. Yes, it is. I'm going there because I want us there. When we were in Russia, the last years we were there, we talked the whole time we were there, but especially the last years, what would have happened if the Lord took us out of Russia? Parents knew they would go back to Ohio and start a church. And as I talked about it with my father and say, you know, go where the Lord wants. I don't like it. I love this. I don't know the word. I like the cold. I don't like the heat. But I'll go to a hot country. I won't let my personal desires change this, affect my decisions. There's a great need. People don't want to go to Canada. No one. Pray for us. Pray for the people of Canada. Pray for us as we get to Canada. Pray as you pray for Canada. Pray for your home country. Pray for the faith. These 12 people of Canada. The Lord is not called to Russia. I would live in a heartbeat. The Lord is not called to Russia. As God is speaking. Pray for Russia, pray for Canada. There's a great need everywhere. Time is short. We must work while it is in the day for the night. That's the promotion. That's what the Lord's promise. If you have any questions, please. If you have any questions, I'm going to keep taking some questions. Can't think of one right now. You say, oh, I should ask that. Come to me afterwards. We're happy to ask. You can ask either one of us a question. You want to ask how we married? You can ask us how we got to know each other. That's another long story on top of the other ones. But if you have any questions after, please ask us. All right, praise the Lord. All right, please turn your Bibles with me. Turn your Bibles with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9. The last few minutes we have here, I want to share with something with everyone here tonight, and I hope it's a blessing. Looking at the theme of missions, and as I prayed and sought the Lord what have for tonight, and this is what He laid upon my heart. So, yeah. Here in Matthew chapter 9, the last few verses here in this chapter, Matthew chapter 9, beginning off in verse 35, see here, it says, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then said he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against the unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname is Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at these scriptures here tonight, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of our hearts, that you would meet with us, as you promised in your word, that where two or three are gathered together in thy name, there you are in the midst. Lord, I pray that you would, may your hearts be knitted together in unity of heart to seek you, seek your face, and to receive from you that which we need here tonight. We love you, Father. I pray that you would give me wisdom and understanding, Lord, too, and discernment to speak your word, that you would be made, that you would be glorified, and that you would be made evident to all. We love you. Say these things in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So here in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9, we see here the very well-known passage, and the thought of the where he says here the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. A very well-known passage to start with mission. But here tonight, I wanted to share with you a thought. Basically, this thought is the enterprise of the evangelist. The enterprise of the evangelist. Basically, what is the work of the evangelist? And these steps that lead a person to be able to do the work that God has called us to do. Understand something. As a born-again, if you are sitting here tonight and you are a born-again child of God, if you have one time repented of your sins and believed in Jesus Christ, then you are called to go. The calling of God from Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 and 20, was not given only to the preacher. It was not only given to the deacon or to the men in the church. It was given to the whole church. Every single one of the members of the local church, that's who it was given to. So if you are born again believer here, you are commanded. That's a strong word. We don't use that often, but you understand. You are commanded by your Lord to go. It says, Go ye and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded. Go. Here we see the enterprise of the evangelist. And first off, we're going to look at six different points here. I have six different points. Looking at basically steps that leads us to be enterprising evangelists. The steps that we need to take so that you might be able to be used by the Lord. Here in beginning off in chapter 9, verse 35, we see, And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease of the people. Here we see the very first thing. First of all, we see you must go out. You need to leave your home, leave the comforts, even in this time. You can't believe, but in Russia, we didn't do door knocking. We didn't actually look at law. We can't do that. But what did we do? We went out on the streets and tried to find people to talk to them. We went out in the cold, in this kind of cold. God says, go. doesn't matter what type of weather there is. Now, we need to be wise and careful, but go. Get out. That's the very first thing. If you don't leave the comforts of your home, if you don't go out, then you won't ever reach anyone. If you don't go out specifically with the idea, it's like, I'm going to try to talk to someone today. You won't ever reach one. And then why do you think it's a crazy thing that you haven't ever won someone to the Lord? Why do you think it's like you look like, why don't I see fruit? Because you're going. The very first step. You must go out. Jesus says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages. He went out. And stayed home in Nazareth. Comforts of home. He went out. All the cities and villages. You must go out. The very first thing, we must go out. In Mark chapter 16, 15, the parallel passage to Matthew 28, it says, Christ said, he said to his disciples, said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It says, go into all the world. Go. The very first thing that you must go out. Second thing. We'll move here quickly because we don't have much time. But here, second point. So first point, to be able to be an enterprising evangelist, to be able to be used by the Lord to win souls. Because that's what we're called to. That's the commission that God has given to us. Mission of the Christian to go and preach. Go. The very first thing, you must go. Number two, you must perceive the nations. It's not enough just to go and it's like, let me go back to that. It's not enough. You can't just go out and like, all right, I'm outside. Lord, a miracle. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, but when he saw, every word of God is, the word of God is the inspired word of God. And I believe firmly and very strongly that every word written in this book is meant to specifically by the Lord. It says here, and side note, and I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit trail, but I'll get back to this. But if you want to grow in studying the Word of God, there's a kind of thing you might want to do. Look at the key words, okay? Key action words. Start there. You saw. When you look at a passage, look at the key action words. You can get a lot from it. Here's the very first one we see, he went out into all the cities and villages, preaching and teaching. Went out. Number two, he saw the multitudes. It's not enough just to go out. You need to see the people. You need to see as the Lord sees. You need to, as if, take off your own personal glasses, the way you see, and put on the spectacles of our Lord, how He sees, that you might be able to see and perceive how He perceives. The Lord sees the heart. I remember the passage in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13. We hear these words by a woman who was a heathen. She draw close to the Lord because she was in the household of the man of God. It says, famous word. Thou God seest me. The Lord knows. This has his God. You see everyone. Help me to see as you see. We need to see with Lord's eyes. John chapter 4. Samaritan woman by the well. After Jesus had revealed himself, and by the way, he downwind twice. Because he revealed to not his disciples, besides his disciples, he revealed twice who he really was up front, that he was the Christ. Choose one. As soon as he revealed that I am he, Christ that you've been waiting for, she ran home. She went back to the village to bring people, and as she was doing that, the disciples came back and was like, Lord, eat, because they had gone to the village and bought food. Their eyes were not open. You can see that in the next passage, because he said unto them, look, he said, behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. Lift up your eyes, because they had not been lifting up their eyes. They didn't see the need of the people. They were so concerned about what they were doing, what their goal was, what their mission was, what their job was, that they forgot and they left off lifting up their eyes. For you to be able to be used by the Lord, you must, number one, go out. Number two, you must receive the people. You must see them as the Lord sees them. Number three, you must not only see the people, you must see their needs. Receive their needs. Receive the nations. Number three, receive the needs. Here in this passage in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, and when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep. Now we skipped something. We're going to get back to it because, don't worry, we're going to get back to it. But here it says, he had compassion on them. And the reason why is so unbelievable. Here it says, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. The reality of our day and age today, in our world today, there is a great need. What is the need? People today are fainting. They are fainted. What does fainted mean? It means to be weak, without strength, lacking strength, languid. They're weak. Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were without strength, Christ died for the ungodly. We're without strength. We are unable to come to the presence of the Lord. We are unable to save ourselves. We're fainting. We're weak. Without strength. People around today, they're trying their hardest to make the pain of ourselves. Number two, scattered abroad. As sheep having no shepherd, they're scattered abroad. They don't know. How shall they believe on him without hearing? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach without sending a sent? Let me switch that around here. If they've been sent, shall be saved. They shall be saved. They shall no longer be scattered, but shall be brought back to the Lord. People today are fainting. They are scattered abroad. There's a great need about us. We also see here the Lord's prayer, and there's only one time in the scriptures in the New Testament, in the Gospels, that we see the Lord asking for a prayer request. Here, the reality of our world today is that the harvest truly is plenteous. There's much work to do. Because the reality of our day and age, as we said, people are fainting, they're scattered abroad. There's much people, their harvest truly is plenteous. That means it's ready. There are people in our day and age, we look around and think, well, people won't hear. There are some. The harvest is ready. And if we don't go now, there's a harvest. We'll miss our opportunity. I walk down the street, or I'm driving somewhere, and the Lord speaks to me in the Holy Spirit and makes my heart sing. And I say, Lord, I don't have time. It's like, Lord, what? This is so embarrassing. I was like, Lord, just tell me now. harvest trees. There are very few going in the fields today. Very few today that are going out and preaching the gospel. Fewer than there was. It's a great need. We need to perceive the needs. Number four. We need to pity the needy. We skipped over this, but let's look back here. And when he saw the multitudes, he was compassion is not just love. Compassion, you know, a good definition, how I define it. Love with action. Love with action. He loves someone. I desire to help them and do it. It's compassion. The Lord was moved to compassion. We need to pity the needy. We need to understand. We need to see the needs. We need to see the nations. We need to see their needs. And we need to have compassion on them. And by having compassion on these people, by that compassion motivates us to do the next thing. Great. Take heed to the Lord of the harvest, that He would send forth laborers to your harvest. And by the way, I'll warn you. Lord, send laborers on the way. What dare you? God says, pray. The very next thing we see is God sends his disciples. We must pray for laborers. Why? Because there's a great need around us. Here, Christ, send me. The words of Isaiah. Here am I, Lord, send me. I'll go. Pray. Finally, on number six, we've seen number one. How do you become an enterprising evangelist? How do you be used by the Lord and win souls? Number one, must go. Number two, you must receive the nations. Number three, you must perceive the needs. Number four, must pity, have compassion on the need. Number five, pray. Pray for laborers. Pray that the Lord would send forth people into his harvest. Number six, it leads all of them to that. Proclaim the good news. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Gospel means good news. Name it to all who might hear. Name it. Compassion. That's Jude 22. Some have compassion. Pulling them out of the fire, heating the garments, making them compassion. You must preach with compassion, understand that the Lord loves them. There are some who already understand the fear of the Lord. They need to understand the Lord's love for them. There are some who are arrogant, think that they go their own way. Reach the word instantly, see the analysis, and the good news that you might be used to the Lord. This is the work of evangelists. All called to be and leader to all to be evangelists. Here, God gave a promise. I want to finish off this. I want to leave you with soul because our work is not in vain. The book of Psalms 126. Psalms 126, verses 5 and 6. Here is the promise of the Lord to those who will go and those who do the work of the evangelism to obey the mission of our Lord. Here in Psalms 126. 6 verse 5 it says, they that sow in tears. He that goeth forth and weepeth, very precious seeds, shall doubtless come in. yes, there'll be some enactment will fall on hard parts as the ground now is on the side of the road. There'll be some seeds the word called will fall upon some ears who are like the stony ground, who rejoice for in it for a season, and when the persecution grows, some will even fall upon the thorny ground. Those who are so distracted and so overwhelmed with the cares of this life that the word of God will not simply reach them. There's the ground, it will fall. And it will bring forth something great. It will bring forth. My brothers and sisters, please the word. Time is drawing nigh. The Lord's coming is nigh. Preach the word. Be an enterprising evangelist. The Lord has given us a gift. It is a great reward in it in this life and in life to come. It is a great reward. Let us be enterprising evangelists doing the work that the Lord has given us to go to see the nations, to see the needs, see the need, pray.